Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome again. It is Tuesday, the last Tuesday of the year of 2021. Isn't that a blessing? Some of us that are able to hear this, you are here this day, and hopefully you are excited about what God is saying as much as what God is doing, right? Like to welcome you, you know, to what I consider a fireside chat. And I'm definitely going to discuss some things tonight that may seem far off for some, but I really need to address this going into the new year. I'm told that when the way you end one thing is the way you start another. And because of that, we really want to go into the new year the right way. But before we get into that, let's have a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. God, we appreciate you. Lord, there is no other God like you. Lord, I appreciate you on how you have been speaking to me and how you have regurgitated some things that you placed in my spirit from times past. And now is that time and that season. So, God, we just want to turn this over to you tonight. And, God, this is not my program. This is yours. So, Father, you speak. Let the ears that hear, oh, God, be penetrated through that spirit that it may change their lives. We bless you, oh, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I titled this night controversially. And some may not think this is a controversial topic, but it really is. And so when you hear this, it definitely wants you to think about it. And some of you that maybe listening and, you know, as I see all the telephone numbers popping on here, we wanted to talk about, and we are going to talk about, are you hearing from God? Very important. This is critical. Are you hearing from God? Now, what makes this controversial? And I'm going to use biblical topics, you know, and so we will end this year and start this next year talking about the same thing, you know, are you hearing from God? Because we make assumptions on things. And those assumptions can take us into various different walks and areas in our life. And it becomes beneficial for us that we have an ear to hear. Now, God gave me a scripture to read, and I want to read that for those that have it. You know, it was along with the rest of the information I put out. And it is Revelations chapter number 2, verse number 7. And it speaks to where we are today and where we're not today. You know, knowing that the book of Revelations is revelatory, it's revealing things, it's talking about things, it's pointing in a direction. And it's more talking about not where we are individually, but where the time is and not speaking in dispensations. Speaking in real time where you are. So Revelations chapter number 2, verse number 7 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Right? So now I want to dive into this. I don't want to play with this. I really want to talk about this. It says again, Revelations chapter number 2, verse number 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is critical, crucial. And it is in so many different shapes, form, and fashions. So here is what's critical about it. Some of us are afraid to tell the Lord, I don't know if I'm hearing your voice. Because if we say that to God, it may make us look as if we've been putting on a show for a number of years. But we have to end this year hearing from God and going into the next year hearing from God. We want to end this year hearing from the Lord. We want to go into the next year hearing from the Lord. Now, I want to be clear about some things, because there's an assumption that's being made reading that particular scripture. There's an assumption being made that if I'm reading the Bible, that's where I'm going to hear from God. And that's a bad assumption. Critical now. Because I want to, you know, and I want to be clear about something. This book that we call the Bible starts off in the book of Revelations directly dealing with the voice of God. In the book of Genesis, This and ends in Revelations dealing with first God speaking, and then the challenge in Revelations, are you hearing from him? He didn't have an ear, let him hear. So Genesis 1, it deals with God speaking, and then as God speaks, he takes an earth that has no shape, no form, no life, nothing in it, and he causes chaos. Because an earth that never rumbled, that never moved, that never shaped, that didn't have form, begins to take form based upon what God is now saying. Which means that the voice of God, the Setula, in the Arabic, Sawatula, some say Sapula, is more powerful than the words that you read. Boy, I felt that one. So the voice of God now, the very words that God speaks causes chaos, and something that did not exist begins to exist, and it takes form, and it does everything that God says, which would indicate from the writer of Moses, not what one reads has power, but what God says has power. This is what makes this a controversial comment. And trust me now, I'm going somewhere with this. Because if you don't know God's voice, then you're unsure of who you're listening to. Some of us are listening to people and we think God is speaking through them. Some of us are reading the Bible and we think God is speaking through that, right? But if I can now, in red, in the book of Revelation, chapter number 2, it is an indication that Jesus is saying this. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, let me translate that a little bit more. The churches are not talking about the building. It's not talking about these things that we want people to show up in on Sunday mornings because it's not talking about that. It's not talking about the storefronts. It's not talking about the big edifices. It's not talking about that. It's not talking about the 10,000 seaters. It's not talking about the churches that are social distancing or not social distancing. That is not referencing the 20th century what we understand as church. What it is directly speaking to is you. If you're a believer, then you're part of the ecclesia. The ecclesia. You are part of that, which means that you are part of an august body of believers. And so if you are part of that, then Jesus is saying to you, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto you. Oh, well, this may go over the top of some of you all. Now, let me go a little deeper. Not one time in the book that you read that has the Bible does it reference what you read to be an authority. Let me say that again. Not one time does this book reference what you read to be an authority. We call the Bible the Word of God, and some of you may hang up on me when I say this. But there are many things in here God didn't say. We attribute it to God, but then the writer that writes this has a conflict with Jesus. See, because when Jesus says, and I want to get this for you so you are not confused and you don't think I'm just blabbering off, but Jesus says this. He says, take my yoke upon you. Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 29. It is critical now that we know the writer now is referencing something that Jesus said. That's interesting, ain't it? The writer is referencing something that Jesus said. And so Jesus says this. I'm going to start in verse number 28, Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28. This is the King James Version. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Right? That's what Jesus said. Jesus wants you to learn of him, but he was not talking about a book. Y'all with me? I see many people popping on here. So now listen to what Paul says now, which makes us more of a Paulinian follower than we are Jesus. And 1 Corinthians now, in the first book of Corinth, the first letter that was written to the Corinthian church, right? So Paul says, be ye followers of me. That's what he says. You know, be ye followers of me. That's what he says. You know, and so even as I also am of Christ. Now, Jesus says, take my yoke upon me, learn of me. He wants you to follow him. He wants you. Paul says, now have that relationship or have that. Now, watch this now. Have the relationship through me to God where Jesus would say, cut covenant with me and know me. I'm not trying to create a controversial position, but I want you to understand that your ears spiritually should be linked to God. Can I be much clearer? See, we have, and I say we because, you know, I'm a minister of the gospel. You know, we have directed people to try and understand a book, and we have not pointed them to Jesus. See, if I point you to the book, you're going to be confused just like everybody else. Then you're going to need someone to try to explain the book to you. And in their inability to explain certain things, at least people would up a lot of questions. There are none of you on this call that can honestly say that you have read the Bible through and through and had not found things that made you go, You haven't read this and have not found areas in here that did not make sense, especially when you're reading it in today's time, because the things that happened back then customarily would not fit in the U.S. However, it is still a practice in the Middle Eastern countries. So we don't read the Bible as if we were sitting in that time. We're reading it now as if it's where you are. Now watch it now, because I did read Revelation because it's revelatory, meaning it reveals something. And I want to show you what it's uncovering, if you all can hear me. So and notice now, I'm going to reference things that's in this book. I want to reference that. Are y'all with me? So now, I'm going to use this book. And I'm going to find another scripture. If you go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Trust me now. I'm coming out of the book. I'm not, I don't want to give my opinion. You know, I really want you all to grab a hold of this. Is that okay? Amen. I hope it's okay. So, this is the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. This is what Paul writes to Hebrews. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. So now, if Jesus hasn't changed, and the writer here addresses that, and he wants you to learn of him, why would you follow a man? That's a deep question, y'all. I just want you to grab this now, because it's not the man that established the covenant with you and God. Because God doesn't need a man to establish a covenant. We use men and women to establish relationships. But if you're hearing from God, every time God established a covenant with someone that he pursued, he let them know his responsibility to them. It was not important that they fulfill what they say. The importance was on God to do exactly what he said. In the establishment of a covenant, one must hear from God. Oh, Lord, we got to end this year hearing from the Lord, and we got to go into the next year hearing from the Lord, because it's critical now. It's crucial. It's critical. Now, I'm not finished, you know, because I got to go a little bit deeper. And so if there is no shadow of turning in God, right? That means that he's not going to change. Isn't that right? If he doesn't change, if he remains the same, then we have something wrong right now. We do now in the book of James now, and I'm trying to be sure I stay in the book. I'm really almost there to where we can talk, because the very point that I'm making has been established. You know, in the book of James, chapter number 1, and I'm going to go all the way down to verse number 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the fathers of light, which whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, meaning that God is not changed. That's what this refers to, is that there is no changing in him. So if he said it, he meant it. But how can you move knowing the voice of God if you're not listening to God? If your ears are tuned in to listen to the broadcast of men, to read the books of writers and not hear from God, what are we saying? Then we're not hearing from the Lord. Now, I'm prefacing this now because multiple times in the Bible it says if we go to Genesis chapter 15 and the word of the Lord came, and the word of the Lord came, and God said, and God told Abraham, God told Joshua, God said to Abraham regarding Isaac, God spoke to Hezekiah, or God said this to the prophet. And if God was speaking then, and they didn't have the book that you read called the Bible, has God stopped speaking? Have you trusted the voice of God in an individual? Have you quietly quenched or put a muzzle over the voice of God concerning your life? Think about this now. Because in Revelations now, if you can't hear from the Spirit, how can you know what God is getting ready to do? Critical. I'm having to dive a little bit deeper. How many times in the midst of trouble have you come to God and said, Lord, I need you to talk to me? Because the people that was around you thought they were hearing from God. Or the folks that you dealt with on a consistent manner didn't understand what it meant to hear from God. But how is it that the people that were alive during the time of Jesus were eager to hear from God and we're not? Can somebody make this make sense to me? Especially if God wants to speak to you and you're waiting to go to church or you're waiting for the broadcast, does not say God can't speak to these men. But she wants to talk to you. How can you know the voice of God if you have not positioned yourself to hear from God? We put more stock into what people say, and God can say something different, and we won't do it because it don't sound like God. Can I give an example? Oftentimes, there is something that God wants you to do. It doesn't have anything to do with present day church. That's religion. That is strictly religion. It doesn't have anything to do with present day church. That is religion. What it has to do is with things that are regarding the marketplace. Can I talk to you for a minute? And because we've gotten accustomed to, now let me say this. I never said God wanted anybody to be rich. We become rich in spirit when it comes to him, not necessarily rich with things. Because we worship the God of the things and not the things that God gives us. So oftentimes we have become accustomed to a paycheck. Can I really talk to you for a minute? And the consistency of that paycheck, we call that a sense of security. That is a secure moment for us because someone has said, if I work, then I get paid every 2 weeks or semi-monthly, you know. And we position our lifestyles around the time periods that we get paid. In some cases, we don't make enough money, and we have to budget now, live as some people would want you to say humbly, because we can afford to live beyond that. And in 9 times out of 10, for those that try to live outside of that means, they end up in financial trouble. Can I talk to you for a minute? And yet, it ain't what God told us that we're dealing with, because we didn't hear from the Lord. We just decided to do something, and we say God said, when he never did. Are y'all with me? So the strength now becomes how we have either heard from God or how we become accustomed to our own demise. But he that has an ear now, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, what it has to say to you. Now, let me go a little bit further. In our struggles of waiting on these pay periods or checks, we lose now. Because time is of the essence. We put all our time into an employer. We put all of our time into the job. And we navigate now the time we spent with the job as a necessary evil, that we may have some quality time with our family or our loved ones. And even though we're spending more time on the job than we are with family, you know, the job gets the best of us and our family gets the worst of us, because we're tired, we're worn down. We can't move forward like we would want to. And those are some internal issues. But now, what has God said? Some of us believe that they don't understand, or I don't want to say believe. Let me say this: some of us engage spiritual leaders as if they are supposed to know exactly what you need, when you need it, and part of that is that fault of our own, because we've handicapped people to believe that if you need a word from the Lord because of the church and I'm the pastor, you have to come get that word from me. That's what we taught, and that is so far from the truth. But in order to keep you submissive in coming and giving your resources for building that that may outgrow, because we're looking for numbers of you, you now submit yourself to working for a company just to give a tithe. Again now, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Can I go a little bit further? If Jesus hung out in the marketplace, if he dealt with people that had professions, not jobs. A profession meaning that this is what I do, but I do it that I can make money for my family, but I'm not doing it for someone else for pennies. Because you work for someone, they pay you pennies versus the amount of money they're making for the product that you specialize in. God, I hope y'all hear me tonight. And I'm going to go away from business because my friend told me that I talk about church too much. And I don't want to talk about church. I really want to talk about. So if we step away from the spiritual realm, because we've got Jesus now locked up into a biblical context, locked up into a Bible when he walked around the earth. We have Jesus now sequestered into a building that we call church, and he has never lived inside the temple. You know, he had the temple built, but his true ministry or who he served was out in the marketplace. I believe this, and this is the reason for the topic, and I'm going to go a little bit further into here. I just wanted to lay a foundation. God is getting ready to speak to us. For those that will hear him, the pattern of the Lord has not changed. God says something, and then the earth or whatever that obeys him benefits from obeying his voice. How can you now benefit from a voice that you're unsure of? If we can be completely honest and transparent, there are many of you on this call that really don't know the voice of God, because there are some things that God has asked you to do that you found crazy. And you bypass the opportunity that God is setting you up for. In school, we were taught this, that you have certain risks that you take. One risk you don't want to take because it has no true monetary value to it is the opportunity risk, meaning that you may know something or have the information of an opportunity, but because you decide not to do it, here is the risk involved in not doing it. So that is called an opportunity risk. How many opportunities does God have to present to you that you take a risk of not doing? And when God speaks to you about whatever these endeavors are, you don't follow him. You follow your gut, your instinct, because you think that's God speaking to you. In some cases, it could be. In some cases, it's not. But how do we become sure? We don't become sure until we plead with God that we recognize his voice. Because he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto you. What is God saying to you? Don't pick up the Bible. Don't try to find out what God said to Paul. Don't pick up the Bible and find out what God said to James, what he possibly said to Jude, Philemon, what he said to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, James, you know, the churches in Corinth and Ephesus. Let's not try to figure out what God said to me, because then we're living somewhat in the past. Isn't the God that you serve powerful enough to speak to you where you are in this time? Isn't he powerful enough to address the 21st century issues that stand before us? Has he stopped speaking? Has he decided not to have a conversation with the people that he loves? Have God turned his back and said, I don't want to talk to you? Excuse me. Has he said that? Let's think now. Let's think about it. Can we? Is there something that God wants to say to you that you've been waiting for the Lord to speak to? Have you been eager in this year of 2021 to really hear the direction that God has sent us in? maybe you, because where he sent you may not be where he was sending me. Think about it. I want you to really dive into this now. Because if we take things for granted, but if a blind man couldn't read Braille, could he still hear from God? A man that was deaf, that never heard a word, could he still hear from God? We often believe the opposite. How can this man hear from God when he don't have ears? How can this man hear from God if he can't read? You had a Bible. There were those that were before you that heard from the Lord. We make assumptions about things. And oftentimes those assumptions are wrong. Why would we assume that we need a book to hear from God? There's a cartoon that's out. I love it. It's beautiful. a pastor gets up and tells the people, the sheep now, tells the sheep, I need for you to hear from the Lord. They put headsets on and plug into a Bible. That was funny. They put headsets on and plug into a Bible. And they're waiting at that moment to hear whatever God has to say. And they can't hear anything. Because now we trust what we read. And it has handicapped us, because now you're not interested in hearing from the Lord. We want confirmation, because if God tell us something, we just find it hard to believe. Lord, tell somebody else who don't know about it so I know that this is real. We are afraid to hear the voice of the Lord, and I don't know why. Haven't figured that one out. Why would we be afraid to hear the voice of the Lord? What kind of God would say he loves you and not have one conversation with you? Tell me now. Ladies, I have a question for you. Could you believe a man loves you if you never heard from him? Would you even know who he was if you never heard from him? You could probably read about him all day long without an interaction with him, to where he speaks to you and the way he could speak to your truth and cover your weaknesses. How would you know if he never said anything to you? Think about that now. And then, fellas, question, how can you function doing things that you know need to be done without any instructions? If you've never done it before and you're working totally on the what is, wouldn't you need to hear something? Don't you want God to speak to you? That would be totally insane for some of you all. This is how deep I'm going with this. Because if you leave this year not hearing from God, you're going to enter into the next year not knowing his voice. Because Jesus says this, my sheep knoweth my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Are we assuming that the millions of churches that are established around this country that we call the United States of America is the voice of God? Is that God's voice? Have God locked himself up into these various buildings that were separated just to talk to us there through someone that may or may not know you, probably educated to speak eloquently about you, but don't know you, God? Have we deduced God down to 66 books? He's not bigger than that? Are we really calling this the word of the Lord when God didn't say all those things? So if it's not written in the book and God said we hear it, that means it's not God. But if you follow the instructions that God is speaking to your heart, you avoid certain situations and it protects you, guides you, hides you, and puts you in better situations. Have you not heard from the Lord? I know it's a hard question. We like to tell people you got to get in God's word. The only way you get in God's word is that you hear from God. He doesn't establish a universal covenant. He establishes an individual covenant with you. And you will never know what that covenant is if you don't talk to him and if you don't know his voice to sit back and listen to him. How can you know what God said if you never heard his voice? And when he wants to talk to you, would not you want to know what he sounds like? Wouldn't you want to know? There are probably hundreds of you all on here. The count says 318 people are on this call. I'm grateful that you're on here. But I would be more ecstatic to know that you all are hearing from God. And not that you heard from God, but you made a conscious decision to follow whatever God said to you. Because you're not responsible once you do what the Lord said. He is. Now, this Bible says that he's a God that shall not lie, neither the Son of Man that he shall repent. So if he's not a liar and he wants to talk to you about something, maybe it's time to hear from him. Maybe it's time to know exactly what God has said to you. Isn't that right? Maybe it's time to know what God has said unto you. I could go throughout this Bible and show you countless times where the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came. God has never stopped speaking. The word of the Lord came. We make assumptions that God is not speaking to them, but the word of the Lord came. And so God sent his word. And it was not tabulated based upon it being biblical, because biblical only represents a time in which we're looking at that Jesus walked upon the earth. That's what it speaks to, right? That biblical time. And oftentimes we say, I've heard women say they want a biblical marriage. Well, men had multiple wives. That ain't gonna work. You know, women couldn't say much. That ain't gonna work, especially with some of the women that I know, you know. And so if your ears are not open that you would hear from God, how would you know what God would want you to do? Again, this topic that I'm speaking to tonight says something about you. Because if you're not hearing from God and you're waiting to enter into a building that we call church so this man and this woman can tell you what God said, then you're the sheep being led to the slaughter. God never used that building to have a word with you. He can talk to you right where you are. He's God. If he said, if you make your bed in hell, I'll be there with you. Wherever you are, it's not a place where God can't come. He will meet you right where you are. If your door is 407B Simpson Way, he'll knock at your door. If it's 173 Inspirational Lane, he will knock at your door. Because you can't establish anything that he would speak to you. He has to establish it that you can hear from him. It's going to be this way until he returns. You are going to have to be responsible to hear from God yourself. What I find interesting about this topic, and I'm running out of a little time here, when a mother has a child and she's feeding that child, that child becomes accustomed to hearing the voice of that mother. And as it grows, it becomes accustomed to knowing that the voice they heard is their mother, the voice they heard is their father or their siblings or what have you. The older they get, the more they become knowledgeable of who mom is in reference to that's my mother or my father or my sister or my brother, because they have grown up to hear the voice and see their handiwork. How long have you been going to the church and you still have not heard God's voice? How long have you went through the rituals and the customs and you still have not heard the voice of the Lord? Is it that God is speaking and you're not familiar with his voice? Because if he loves you as much as the Bible says he does, and he's seeking you out. He says that he chose you. You didn't have an opportunity to choose him because you didn't know what it meant to be chosen. You didn't know what it meant to be left out. You had no idea about these things because God chose you before you was born. And if he chose you before you was born, then it wasn't you seeking him. It was him establishing something with you. And the first thing he established with you is from spirit to spirit. He talks to you. He says something to you. My spirit is speaking. And my spirit hears from God as God speaks into my spirit. Interesting enough, dear heart. Some of us are going to end this year. We're not going to hear the voice of the Lord. It ain't because God has stopped speaking to us. It's because we're more interested in hearing from other people than hearing from the Lord. I know that's hard. I know it is. Because you've probably been going through the motions with this for years, getting up Sunday morning, want to go to Sunday school and making sure you have money to drop in the Sunday school basket, and then church starts and making sure you're a giver, people see you give. You're going through the motions, and you're waiting for the pastor to speak, and hopefully he can speak to the issue that you're experiencing at home or on the job or with your children or with your spouse or just being alone. You're hoping that the pastor can speak to that, and then when they don't speak to it, you come home disappointed, and you keep dealing with the same issues, the same circumstances, and you're waiting to hear from the Lord, and God's been trying to knock at your door and speak to you, but you're still wanting to go into the building. And you open the book and you're trying to say, Lord, where are you in this book? And, you know, I've read Genesis. I've read Deuteronomy. I read Exodus. Lord, I read Jude. I read Joseph. Oh, God, I read Judges. I read the books of the prophet. I read all these things. Father, when will I hear from you? And it doesn't matter how long you read these things, how often you read them, you're still searching for some type of understanding. And God is tapping you on your shoulder. You're moving your shoulder like, I don't want you touching me because I don't know who you are. But he's tapping you on your shoulder. You're looking around and you don't see anybody. He's tapping you on your shoulder and you're trying to speed up. But he's trying to get your attention just to talk to you. He loves you more than the people you're trying to hear from. So when will you stop for a moment in the chaos that's surrounding you that we call life? Regardless of how loud it gets, turn it down. How crazy they are, lock them out. How foolish things can become, keep them away from you. Just a little piece in a moment that you can receive instructions from the Lord. That's all he's asking. He's not asking for you to go write a 300-page novel. He's not asking that. All these books we're writing and stuff of that nature, they're great. They, you know, it's some good self-help stuff and, you know, things that deal with the flesh of a man when it comes to the things that bothers him. But, you know, at the end of the day, it cannot connect you to his spirit. And what I love, I can't teach you about God. I can give you instructions and information. I can't teach you about God. Only God can teach you about him. And when you want to know, he'll pull you into areas that as you navigate through, you discover, I didn't know that was there. And that has been the thing that's been causing pain. And now God removes that, but then you move in another area and something causes pain. He said, I didn't know it was there. See, God's speaking to you because the only way you can get these things out of you, he has to deal with you. He has to engage you. Because you didn't choose him. He chose you. Are you hearing from God? Ask yourself that question. It's okay to tell God, Lord, I don't know if I know your voice. It's okay. Because if you're honest with him, he'll let you hear his voice. Regardless of how he speaks, he'll let you know you can't put a handicap on me. Regardless of what you seek, there is no thought strong enough to try to determine what God will say or will not say. The real push ending this year is that you end this year with an ear to hear. Again, the scripture that I use here is from the book of Revelation. Everybody want to talk about it, but let's hear what he says first. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, unto you. And if the Spirit is talking and this is revelatory, are you hearing from him? I'm not being churchy. It didn't say you had to be filled with the Holy Ghost for God to speak to you. I'm not being religious. It didn't say you had to touch your neighbor and jump up five times, run around the church, or give your neighbor a high five just to believe. It didn't say any of those things. It said that he that has an ear. It didn't say that you had to been in the church for 30 years. It didn't say that you had to dance up and down the aisle. It didn't say any of those things, that you had to be baptized. It didn't say that. It says, if you have an ear to hear, listen. God is getting ready to talk to you. Remove all the religious stuff in your life. Push it to the side. End this year with nothing religiously connected to you. Just the moment that God would speak to you and you would hear from him. End the year that way. Because whatever you're doing when you end this year is how you're going to bring the new one in. Whatever you end in this year is going to start off beginning of the next year. You got time. Don't take all day. God can speak to you at any moment and let you know it's him talking to you. Are you ready to hear from the Lord?
Are you ready now to hear God's voice? I believe he will speak to you. I honestly believe God will say something to you that will change your life. If you have doubts about things, if you have insecurities hovering over you, listen to whatever God has to say. I'll trust him before I trust somebody else. I will trust him. Pray with your brother real quickly. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, that I've left your people and served them as I have served you. Father, whatever I've given to you, them, Lord, I pray, God, that you receive it, oh Lord, and that you put a witness behind it. I'm your servant, Father, not interested in being puffed up, raised up, operating with folks rushing around. I just want to love on you and serve you. That's it, Father. So, Lord, as your servant, I just pray that whatever was said, that it was received. If it was received, let it be embedded. If it be embedded, Father, let it germinate, bring forth fruit in the season that you require to be so. I love you, Jesus. Father, thank you for the listeners tonight. God, I lift them up before you. For those that have lost loved ones during this year, and for the new babies that were born, for the new marriages that took place, for the covenants, God, people have heard you speak unto their life, for the people that were healed, for the people that were delivered, oh God, for the man and the woman or the child that never walked but took their first steps in this year, Father, those that could not see, you opened their eyes. So I bless you, oh God, that you are the miracle worker. And I'm crazy enough to believe you can do it again. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, dear heart, again, I am appreciative of you sharing your time with me. It's a blessing, you know, and again, you know, I want you to end this year hearing from God. So you can walk into the next year knowing the voice of the Lord and ready to obey him. You all be blessed going into the new year. I will talk to you next Tuesday, same time, if it be the will of the Lord. Amen. God bless.